lens participants who have been engaging questions of science and creation throughout this week, and we're going to celebrate some of those themes tonight in worship around word and meal. And at this very meal, we become what it is that we receive, the body of Christ sent back out all over this region tomorrow to be the living body of Christ in the world. Helping lead us tonight in worship is Paul Winterstein, who's one of our Lens worship leaders this week, and he's presiding at the Eucharist. Janet, one of our directors here at Holden, is assisting minister. Tom Witt is leading a cast of musicians here. And there are many others, readers, some of your communion assistants, sacristans. All of the worship leaders are working together to make us be this one body tonight, that we can lift our voices together and minister even to each other here in this place. I do want to make one announcement as we go out tonight. Our prayer continues in a different form this evening, and I'll just read this announcement that has been printed up for me. In response to the recent violence in New York and Washington and its aftermath, the Holden Village community is taking action in a number of ways. One of these is to participate in the mystery and power of prayer. Tonight, from 9 o'clock to midnight, you are invited to join us in a prayer vigil here in the village center. Feel free to come and go as you please. Members of the long-term community will be present here throughout that to join you in prayer throughout the entirety of the vigil. So from 9 to midnight, there will be people here praying. You're welcome to join us for whatever period of time you might like to come pray. With that, what you'll need for tonight is just the worship pamphlet, A Living Body, and the Gather Hymnal. The offering tonight, if you've brought your wallet along or purse, goes to two different places, and everything that goes into the offering plates tonight goes directly to those ministries. Tierra Nueva del Norte, a ministry with migrant farm workers in the Skagit Valley, and the Prison and Jail Project of Southwest Georgia, which ministers with prisoners and their families down in Southwest Georgia. At the meal of communion tonight, everyone is welcome.
Together, all you works of God, in your Gather Hymnal number 340.
Mm-hmm. Let us pray. Creating God, in giving us stewardship for things on earth, you made us co-workers with you in your creation. Give us wisdom and reverence to use the resources of nature so that no one may suffer from our abuse of them, and that generations yet to come may continue to praise you for your bounty through your word made flesh, Jesus Christ. Amen.
A reading from Job. Then the living God answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb, when I made the clouds its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed bounds for it, and set bars and doors, and said, thus far shall you come, and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stopped? Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare, if you know all this. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the people.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 104.
A reading from Revelation. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore. But the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and the servants of God will worship God, and they will see God's face. And there will be no more night. They need no lamp or sun, for the living God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the people.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the gospel acclamation found in your worship folder.
Holy Gospel according to St. John. Speak to us, living word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through the Word, without whom not one thing came into being. What has come into being in the Word was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen its glory, the glory as of a parent's only child, full of grace and truth. The gospel of life. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Why have we made the journey to this place, to this mountain valley, to live for a while without a telephone, and to scrape our food with perhaps a higher percentage of vegetable fiber than we're used to, scrape it off of our plates at each meal? And especially in these past few days, what would draw us here? To live here even for a few days in an isolated place, far too close to far too many pastors. Why have we come here for maybe only a few days or a few years? Perhaps it's the hope of being enriched by great lectures on theology and science and creation. Perhaps it's the opportunity to explore these towering mountain valleys, possibly during great lectures on theology and science and creation. Maybe it's the chance to retreat somewhat and catch a breath away from a world constantly sending us messages and images by way of all sorts of chattering and beeping media. Perhaps we are searching for clarity in our own lives, listening for a calling that will once again take hold of us and drive us with passion. My sense is that many of us come here searching for a word of calling and direction to be spoken to us, or perhaps more immediately for some of us, to leave here with a burning word to speak with our mouths or with our lives, maybe to a home congregation. As Boots and Paul have reminded us over these 3 days, Lazarus and the rich man will be waiting for many of us, kind of waiting on our church doorstep when we get back home, waiting for a word to be spoken aloud about them. I have to say, this is an interesting place, and it's an especially interesting few days to go looking for a word to speak. Coming to hear someone lecture who holds the title Theoretical Elementary Particle Physicist, even if they are a pastor, doesn't fill me with the hope of hearing a lot of little pithy stories I can tell the Sunday school class, you know? Thoughts of a multiverse instead of a universe, and hearing about the EPR effect leave me more often with kind of an awed hush, with a stopped mouth, than with a word to speak. And somebody who hiked over Cloudy Pass way back at the far head of this valley on the way in here for the Lens Conference talked about how when they came over that really high pass with the fall colors blazing red and orange and yellow and dark green in the trees and in the underbrush, the clouds clumping up around volcanic Glacier Peak, big chunks of glacier floating on Upper Lyman Lake, the cascades roaring through those mountain meadows, the sky spread out in all directions. They said that every word just left them, and they were mute. And in their words, it was the most they could do just to put one foot in front of the other and keep walking. Much like Job, when he was encouraged by God to consider the grandeur of the creation of the universe, we can be left hushed by the mystery and wonder of this place, this universe, and this planet that we call home. Even quantum physicists, so they tell us, as they delve into the subatomic world, they cannot, after some points, communicate in a verbal language that makes any sense as we understand it. Space and time are so strange on that level that only mathematical patterns are left to drum out a rhythm where our words fail. And many of us have come to this place with a space in our hearts, having been hushed 2 weeks ago. A void that opened up when we first heard the news about airplane crashes and buildings collapsing and thousands of people trapped and in danger. When we are confronted by events so horrific and wrong, even as we try to speak about them, and even while the TV kind of chatters on, we nevertheless call them unspeakable. There's a part of us that is hushed. Our mouths stopped in the face of this kind of horror. When John wants to talk about Jesus in his gospel, it's interesting that in order to talk about Jesus, he goes back to the beginning of creation, to begin at the cosmic, primordial hush. In the beginning, John writes, was the Word. Into that great elemental hush, God has a word to speak, a word that is with God and is God in that great cosmic void. John says that this word that God speaks into the deep hush was not sorrily published as a scientific treatise or written down as a religious manifesto or a self-help guide. It was not preached as a sermon or even spoken as caring words of comfort. But it became flesh and lived among us. The word that God speaks into the great hush of the universe and the hush of our hearts is a word made flesh. John Polkinghorne said that it's not too inaccurate to say that at the beginning of time, the universe was pregnant with life. In something of the same way, this word was present at the beginning of creation and was waiting to be spoken into flesh, into the world. But compared to the power of the Big Bang, this word that God speaks looks hopelessly delicate and weak. Martin Luther was fascinated by that scene of Jesus's birth, and he wrote descriptions of it that are a little more realistic and earthy than I'm comfortable reading in public. He saw in that scene, in that little family huddled together around an infant, a true icon of the way God's ancient, mighty love is spoken into the world, as fragile and as weak as a baby's cry. I think of those stewards of life, firefighters and rescue workers and police officers who rushed into the void of a burning World Trade Center tower like hundreds of good shepherds to lead and carry people to safety. 300 or so words made flesh when they themselves were consumed by the void into what became a terrible hush. This word that is there in the beginning of the universe and is in, with, and under the whole creation looks awfully vulnerable when it's made flesh and lives and dies among us, having been spoken into the hush. For John, who wrote this prologue to his gospel about the word being present in the beginning of creation, The vulnerability and the scandal of the cross became the crowning, enthroning moment of this Word becoming flesh. The cross is the moment when the power that is at the heart of creation is revealed as God's mercy. And those rulers of the world who put on violent, unspeakable displays of power are unmasked in that moment as pretenders. Even as Jesus himself is on trial, powerful Pilate is running around babbling, looking like the one who is about to be dethroned. It is Jesus, even on the cross, who is given the title King of the Jews in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. God's Word, present since the dawn of creation, stands in solidarity with this world all the way into the void, into the hush of death on the cross. There's a scene in the movie Gandhi that I think I saw like 15 years ago, which shows masses of people coming to demonstrate peacefully against the colonial rule of Britain over India. The police have formed a line on the road beyond which they're refusing to let people come. But after some discernment, there's this line of people, mostly poor people, many of them elderly, who walk forward without speaking. And while the whole crowd is silent, they're beaten down by police with these wooden clubs, and they drop to the ground and disappear off the screen, broken and silenced, and there's this hush. And then silently, another line of marchers approaches and takes their place, and they too are beaten down by these police clubs and fall in a heap, and it happens again and again. And it looks like this complete horror, this complete loss. And then the reporter for the British radio, who's watching this scene take place, reports, "The British Empire has just in this moment lost all authority for maintaining colonial rule in India." This fragile Word, enfleshed, unmasked the ways of violence and dominion for the weakness that it really was. This Word of self-giving love looks like the most fragile thing in the world. And yet when it is spoken and enfleshed into our world, we recognize it to be the most powerful thing in the world, stronger than even the instruments of war and death and sin. We may have come here to Holden for a few days or for many days, looking for a word to speak about the universe. We probably have received some good words. But the awe and wonder of the universe, which we have heard in these lectures and which we experience in these mountain valleys around us, may most often leave us in mystery, awe, wonder, and hush. And the cracks and fissures in our world and in creation, the horrors and the cruelties, may continue to hush our words and stop our mouths. But since the beginning of creation, God has had a word to offer to us who live in just such a creation. It is the word of self-giving love made flesh in Jesus, which allows us to see in the gifts of the universe or the multiverse, in the strangeness of EPR and in the beauty of Cloudy Pass and its neighborhood up there, the gracious outpouring love of God, which fills us with awe and wonder, not only in the beautiful mysteries of creation, but also by remaining with us in the void, in the broken, painful fissures of our world. It is into this world that God brings this word to birth, not only in Jesus, but also in the waters of baptism, in our own fragile flesh, emerging from the waters of God's mercy, born as a living Word made flesh to speak to the world the love that which we have been washed and birthed. the hush of awe in the face of the wild and mysterious creation which we have pondered this week, and the hush of silence in the face of loss and pain, opens a quiet, silent space which we've been trained for our whole lives since our baptism to speak a holy and life-giving word into, a word made flesh of our own bodies, joined to the body of Christ. This past week, the New Yorker magazine and the New York Times magazine had two different art covers, each showing different ways of representing the void or the hush where the World Trade Center towers had been. In one, in the New York Times magazine, there are two columns of light rising up from the skyline where the World Trade Centers had been. And in the other, there are simply darkened silhouettes of the two towers. I think these covers showing this void were not just about buildings, but they were about our hearts, where a hush or a void has been opened. Into that hush, into that void, God wants to speak an ancient word and bring that word into flesh. As baptized children of God, we will be both recipients of that word made flesh in the meal of grace and in the ministry we receive from each other, and we will also ourselves be that word of grace and solidarity and healing that is spoken so fragilely and gently and so powerfully into the hush of this world. We, sisters and brothers, body of Christ, are that word in our flesh. Amen.
The hymn of the day is in your gather hymn book, number 339. Please stand. In confidence, let us pray for the church and for all God's creation. Gracious God, we pray for one another, for our partnership in being hushed and being called forth to be your word made flesh. God, in your mercy. We pray for the congregations and communities represented here, that we might sense our linkage to one another through you. God, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For the church, that we be given words and prayers and actions, however fragile they may seem, that help us to be leaders in this time of uncertainty. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the healing of the nations, that the tree of life will provide us with what is needed to see God's face in each neighbor. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the beauty of this earth, may we cherish it, care for it, and protect it as faithful stewards. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For all those who have shared their faith with us, that one day we may all rejoice together in you. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Receive the prayers of our voices and our hearts, O God, and give us trust in your promises through Jesus Christ, the risen one. Amen. The peace of the risen Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of God's peace with one another. We continue on in your worship folder, The Harvest of Justice.
Thank you. what remains to give all we have is to walk with the poor ones and become the stranger, one with the Lord, the Lord our God.
Let us pray. God of the harvest, to your table we bring wine and bread and gifts from the labor of our hands. Receive the offering of our lives and feed us with your living bread from heaven, that through your loving power all the earth might taste your goodness. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
You created us, O God, to worship you with our prayers and our lives, in all times and places, through Jesus, the risen one, who makes all things new. And so with your people worshiping and working around the world, all creation, and the whole dominion of God, we praise you and join their unending hymn. Holy God, holy and mighty one, holy and immortal, we praise and glorify you, we worship and adore. You formed the earth from chaos, you encircled the globe with air, you created fire for warmth and light, you nourish the lands with water. You molded us in your image, and with mercy higher than the mountains, with grace deeper than the seas, you blessed the Israelites and cherished them as your own. That also the scattered nations, estranged and dying, might be adopted to live in your spirit, you called to all people through the life and death of Jesus, who, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after the supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and with this cup, we remember Jesus, the firstborn of your new creation, We remember his life lived for others, and his death and resurrection, which renews the face of the earth. We await his coming, when, with the world made perfect through your wisdom, all our sins and sorrows will be no more. Send upon us and this meal your Holy Spirit, whose breath revives us for life, whose fire rouses us to love. Nurture in us the fruits of your Spirit, that we may be a living tree, sharing your bounty with all the world. In this meal and throughout this world, living God, all beauty and glory and honor is yours, united in the spirit of your love, through Jesus Christ, the risen one, now and forever. Amen.
Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, our Mother of new birth, let your name be holy, your dominion come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread.
Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the dominion and the power and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen. Set your hope on God, who richly provides us with every good gift. Come, for the feast is ready.
Let us eat, for now the feast is spread. Our Lord's body let us take together. Come, let us drink, for now the wine is poured. Jesus' blood poured, let us drink together. In his presence now we meet and rest. In the presence of our Lord we gather.
In the presence of our Lord we gather.
Rise then to spread abroad God's mighty word.
Rise then to spread abroad God's mighty word.
Jesus risen will bring in the kingdom. Jesus risen will bring in the kingdom.
Jesus risen
my friend.
number 301. Send me, Lord,
send me Jesus, send me Jesus, send me Jesus, send me Lord.
Send me.
Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, faithful God, for feeding us with this meal of healing, unity, and strength. Transform us through this meal into the likeness of your Christ, and unite us in love for one another, that we may be your body in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sisters and brothers, as you go from this place, may the God who loves you, and through the grace of Jesus Christ who gives you good hope, bless you and comfort your hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Go in peace, love, and serve the living God.
Thanks be to God.